You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We're joined by an old friend and valued colleague, Douglas J. Feith, former Undersecretary of Defense for Policy under President George W. Bush, who has served his country in a number of other capacities over many years, including elsewhere in the Defense Department and in the National Security Council and on Capitol Hill. And it is a great pleasure to welcome him back, having seen just 2 days ago now, a wonderful piece by him and his co-author Seth Cropsey, both of whom are now with the Hudson Institute, on Russia. But Doug, before we get to Russia, I'd like to set the stage. We're trying to address debate prep for this particular program in anticipation of the upcoming debate on foreign and defense policy on Monday of next week, as you know. Give us your sense of the Obama doctrine, as I know you have analyzed it, and the critique that Mitt Romney might make of it.
I think that the thing that's striking about President Obama's national security policy is that he adopts a view that's very common among progressive academics, but is not at all common in the American public generally, a view that America's role in the world over recent decades has been negative, and that we play an unconstructive role, especially when we define our interests in national terms rather than global terms, when we assert ourselves and show leadership rather than joining a broad consensus of states, when we insist on our freedom of action rather than constrain ourselves to decisions approved by multilateral bodies like the UN Security Council. And I think that that is really a very important part of the thinking of President Obama and his top national security advisors. And I think a lot of the policies that he's adopted around the world can be understood only in light of that broader critique that he has about a bunch of ideas that have actually been consensus ideas in the United States for decades, but I think he takes issue with them.
He does indeed. And left us, I think, with a legacy of, I put it in nine words, as you know, emboldening our enemies, undermining our friends, and diminishing our country. And I hope very much this will feature prominently in the critique, as you put it, that Mitt Romney offers of the administration's conduct to date. Doug, let's turn to your piece entitled How the Russian Reset Explains Obama's Foreign Policy. It's kind of a look microcosmically within that one portfolio of the so-called reset at this larger phenomenon. What should Mitt Romney be thinking and saying about Russia and how it's been handled by this administration?
I think what President Obama has done regarding Russia is de-emphasized the importance of human rights, which is, I think, a mistake because Putin is severely undermining any possibility that Russia will take a good and enlightened path toward more democratic government. And I think that that's harmful to Russia and it's harmful to the world. I think President Obama also has focused on the real pot of gold at the end of the rainbow with Russia is are more nuclear arms agreements, and he is so interested in preserving good relations with Russia so that he can get more nuclear arms agreements and move toward his goal of nuclear zero that he's willing to overlook a lot of very serious Russian bad actions. For example, their lack of cooperation on Iran and their terrible support for Assad in Syria and other really serious problems. I think the president is more interested in pursuing this fantasy of nuclear zero than he is of leaning on the Russians as he should in a number of other specific areas where the Russians have been very unhelpful.
Yeah. And what's particularly alarming about all that, Doug Feith, is that the president seems to be perfectly prepared to have us go to nuclear zero by ourselves. The Russians, either by agreement or through their own unilateral actions, have made it pretty clear they intend to stay in the nuclear weapons business. In fact, they're building theirs up in important respects. And I'm being told, I don't know if you've picked this up, Doug, that there is a new targeting doctrine that the administration is waiting, presumably, until after the election to foist upon us that would justify a maybe even below minimum deterrence, as it's been, you know, historically understood, so that we can further eviscerate our nuclear forces. I don't know if you've heard of that being bruited about or not, but I'd welcome your thoughts on the advisability of, given what we know about Putin and Russia and China and Iran and others, the wisdom of following through on this president's vision of a world without nuclear weapons, starting with ours.
Well, something that the president does that I find disturbing, and he's done it several times in the debates with Governor Romney, is he will say things like, the military agrees with me, or Romney is asking for more money than the military has asked for, as if the military doesn't work for the president. And I am concerned. I mean, the president, as the president, has the right to set policy. And if he wants to set policy and then be accountable to the public for it, that's democracy. But for the president to set policy, have the military follow his policy, and then run around and hide behind the military and claim that they're responsible, that's worrisome. So your point about, you know, developing a new doctrine, I mean, if the military is told we are going to cut nuclear weapons to a very low level, they will develop the doctrine necessary to do the best they can within that low level. And I don't think that anybody should think that that means that the military thinks necessarily that that lower level is the right level for the country.
Yeah, well, and most especially with respect, for example, to the budget levels that I think are going to be used in part to justify this dismantling of at least one leg of the deterrent triad, maybe more. The military is not supportive of these cuts. The president is really way, way out of line even suggesting that that's so, especially, that is to say, with respect to this next round that he's intent on foisting on us, the so-called sequestration round. Douglas J. Feith is our guest. He is the author of an extraordinarily important post-mortem, I guess you might call it, on the early days of the War on Terror. He entitled it War and Decision, Inside the Pentagon at the Dawn of the War on Terrorism. And, Doug, I want to turn in our concluding 2 minutes with you to an area that I know you have focused on professionally for many years, inside and out of the government, namely Israel. Israel seems to me in as extreme danger today as at any time in my memory, and I wonder what your thoughts are.
I think that the security of Israel has a lot to do with the quality of the U.S.-Israeli relationship. And President Obama has made a strategic decision early in his administration that putting distance between the United States and Israel was an important way of pressuring Israel to make concessions that President Obama thinks are the key to progress in the peace process. And so that's why the president made that famous remark that was leaked from a private meeting that he had, where he talked about the need for daylight between the United States and Israel. I mean, what he was basically saying is, when the United States, during the Bush administration, was extremely close to Israel, he said there was no progress toward peace. And in President Obama's analysis, the lack of progress was because of the closeness of the U.S.-Israeli relationship, which is typical of President Obama. He didn't analyze it from the point of view of how Israel has enemies, serious enemies, and people who don't like the United States either.
Right.
And that the lack
their
of
enemies
progress
are our
is because
enemies.
Of the enemies.
Yeah, exactly right. And that we would find ourselves by endangering Israel, actually more at risk ourselves. Douglas Feith, you are a font of information on these issues. I hope we will have a chance to dissect them with you after the debate, but thank you for contributing to our preparation for it and hopefully to Governor Romney's as well.